Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse number 12. Whereas the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if there were all one member, where would the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular.
What a powerful passage of scripture we just got through hearing. When we think about the Word of God, we think about the blessings that God has left us in His Word. We think about how God has blessed us to have His Word. Friends, when I think about the Ninth and Main congregation, we're at a very pivotal point, a very crucial point, a point in which should be very exciting. And the reason why is because when you think of the necessary pieces that are needed and for a congregation to grow, friends, we ought to be able to say that we have those pieces, and we ought to be able to say that those pieces are necessary in order for us to do the will of God successfully. Friends, everyone is needed when you think of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27. Everyone is important. I know we live in a time and probably always been in a time where people would say, well, you're not important. You're not as important as this person, or you're not as important as that person. Friends, everyone is important in Christ. If you have been baptized into Christ, if you are a member of the Lord's church, you are important to God and you ought to be important to the congregation. And friends, when we think about that, we ought to be very thankful that we are important to God, that every one of us is needed for the will of God. When you think about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you think about the lessons that are couched in this particular passage of Scripture, you think about chapter 12, you think about the spiritual gifts that are labeled there in the first 9-11 verses. But you think about what was going on in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. You think about all of those precious things that God has given us as relates to the greatest gift, which is love. But in chapter 14, you see the regulation of spiritual gifts. How are those gifts used? And when you consider some of these things, it's so powerful in and of itself that we ourselves ought to know that we are a people who are needed. Every last one of us are needed. But what does the church need? Why is everyone needed? I'll tell you what the church needs. The church needs men and women like Barnabas, Acts chapter 4 and verse number 36. We think that he was a man of encouragement. We see that the Bible teaches us that he was the son of consolation, the son of encouragement. We need encouragers in the church. We need people who are addicted to ministry, like in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 14 through verse number 18. There was three individuals there, Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. And the Bible says that they were addicted to ministry. The New King James Version says that they were devoted to ministry. Well, what does this have to do with 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as it relates to everyone is needed? Well, we'll see there in a couple of minutes. We need generous givers of themselves. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse number 5. Those in Macedonia first gave themselves unto the Lord and unto us. But we need generous givers of financial means like Gaius in 3 John 5 through 8. We need generous individuals. Everyone is needed. We also need wise ones. But what do we mean, wise ones? We need those who have wisdom, those who have occupied themselves in the Word of God. Remember what Paul told Timothy and really Titus in Titus chapter 2, how the older ought to teach the younger. We need wisdom. We need all of these in the body of Christ. We need children who are going to follow instructions of their parents. But, you know, I was talking to Brother Popejoy this week, and I was talking to him about Acts chapter 23, 16 through 22, when Paul was in trouble and they wanted to kill Paul. And Paul, well, he called his nephew and told his nephew, you go talk to them and tell them what they're about to do. You know, following instruction is vitally important. We need those in the congregation, in the Lord's church. But also, we need to understand that we're all one culture. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. You know what culture we are? We are the culture of Christ. We're Christians. We're Abraham's seeds and heirs according to the promise. Friends, we are a culture, and we ought to be that thriving culture that all cultures are going to be able to come in and say, this is the body of Christ. But this is the body of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. Look at this, friends. If you're not a member of the Lord's church here, and maybe you're not familiar with the scriptures, hopefully someone who's a member will be able to help you out. And friends, it's all about studying the Word so we can know what God wants out of us. It's not about us coming together and the preacher entertain us, friends. The Word of God is not about entertainment. The Word of God is about instructing and educating and getting people to do the will of God, to be conformed to the very image of Christ, Romans 8, verse 29. Friends, it's all about doing God's will. And this is why when we consider 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, we see that we are, number one, unified. We see those in these first couple of verses. Notice verse 12 and 13 as we study the Word of God together. Now, y'all look at your Bible. Don't look at me. Look at your Bible. Notice what the Bible says. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, now notice what he says, for by one Spirit, literally we are in the age of the Spirit now, according to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 47. We are in the age of the Spirit. What does that mean? That means that the Holy Spirit, as he fell upon the apostles, he gave them the message of God in order for the people of God to understand what they needed to do in order to have their sins washed away, yet be well-pleasing unto the Lord. We're under the age of the Spirit now. But notice what he goes on to say, for by one Spirit, we are all immersed, baptized into one body. Friends, this is a doctrinal point right here. This is a doctrinal point that cannot be refuted. As a matter of fact, he says, for by one Spirit are we all immersed, baptized. And remember in Acts chapter 2 when they had crucified the Lord and Peter is preaching that first gospel sermon, at least it is recorded, his, really all of them were preaching at that particular time. And remember what he said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36? As it relates to Jesus Christ being Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said to the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? He said, repent and let every one of you be what? Baptized. That's a doctrinal point. That's a point that we all need to understand, that if we're going to be members of this one body, it's going to happen because of the one Spirit, the one that revealed the will of God in order to have their sins washed away. Friends, this is vitally important because when we think about all of us being needed, we all need to speak the same things, be of the same mind, and be of the same judgment, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. Now, friends, look what he goes on to say. About one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. Well, what's the body that he's talking about? Colossians 1:18, the church. Ephesians 1:22-23, God put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body. Friends, we can know for a fact what the church is. The church is the body of Christ. It's the called out of God, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You know, we're special. Everyone is needed, and all of us are special. Y'all smile. Come on now. Y'all looking like your cousins in Abilene. Smile. It's the word of God. The word of God teaches us that we are one body, that we are a unified people and should be a unified people. Why? Because of the one spirit. And we know for a fact that the spirit, the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 5 and verse number 4 and 5, he is God. God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit, all three of them, John 17, 1, they speak the same things. They have the same mind, same judgment like we're supposed to be. But notice what it goes on to say. And notice what this one body is inclusive of, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, for we've all been made to drink into one spirit. Friends, the Bible clearly teaches us that we are one. But notice verses 14 through 19. Even though we're one, we function differently, yet one purpose. We're all needed. This is why I made the point as it relates to the older teaching the younger. The younger must listen to the older. We understand that they ought to have, that's the operative word, key word, they ought to have a wisdom that comes forth from God because they have spent time with God. Here, Paul's main point is that we are one. Remember, they were divided, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. We understand that they should have been of the same mind and the same judgment. They were putting people over Christ, and they shouldn't have been doing that. Friends, people still do that even today. One of the hardest things to do is to get people to become one. You know what it requires? It requires the mind of Christ. It requires us humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and in due time, he will exalt us. But notice what he says, verses 14 through 19. We function differently, yet one purpose. Notice what the Bible there has to say. I love how the New King James Version renders this. It says, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? That's a rhetorical question there. Here we're seeing different functions as it relates to the foot and the hand. Oh, I don't eat with my feet. And I don't walk with my hands. Yet, both of them, or four of them, are important. I tell you, if the doctor was to tell me that we have to amputate your foot, I'm going to have a problem. You know, when a member of the Lord's church has to be amputated. Ouch. We ought to have a problem. When a member of the Lord's church is not fulfilling their ministry or their purpose, there's going to be a problem. And we understand here, friends, that the foot has a purpose, the hand has a purpose, and both of them are vitally important. I got in my notes in my Bible that no one can beat you being you. Which means that every last one of us are important. As a matter of fact, with the day that you was conceived, you was important. The day that you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you became that much more important. Every person in the world is important to God, but every person in Christ is really important because of the blood of Christ. Notice what he goes on to say. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now, God has set members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. God does his will. God has a will. God has a purpose for us in Christ. We have a responsibility. Ephesians 2 and verse number 10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. For what? Unto good works. We talked about this last week. That God has created the church that we can be his moral culture in the midst of an immoral world. That's our purpose. And friends, every last one of us have a function. And even though we function differently, this gives the body of Christ the opportunity to go out and do the will of God like none other. As a matter of fact, and I use this very loosely, because really the church is not a machine, the church is a body. But oh, we ain't nothing like a car that's running on 8 cylinders. Who has an 8-cylinder car? None of y'all. Shame on y'all. Man, you gotta get one if you don't have one. But oh, when one of those spark plugs begin missing, or wire begins to rub up against an exhaust manifold and starts arcing, and you're going up a hill and it's going just like that. And friends, sometimes the body, when it's not functioning properly, because everyone doesn't see themselves as being needed, we find it sputtering up the hill. But when we're all doing our part, when we're all going out seeking and saving the lost, when we're all trying to be an encourager, trying to go out and invite people to the meeting, trying to make sure that our elderly are taken care of from an emotional perspective, being encouraged. Friends, all of us have a part to play. And notice what he goes on to say. Verse 19. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? Friends, God wants us to glorify him, but the only way we can glorify him, we have to know what God's word says, so we can go out and do that very thing. Look at verses 20 through 24. We are all necessary. But now indeed, there are many members. Unity is the key right here. Yet one body. Paul, what point are you making? Jews and Gentiles, bond and free, we're all one, we're all members of this one church, and therefore we need to make sure that we function as one church, even though we have one purpose. Many members, one purpose. Notice what he goes on to say. And the eye cannot say to the hand, listen to this very clearly, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Hold on. Can any member of the Lord's church tell another member you're not needed? Mm-mm. As a matter of fact, when the doctor say, well, we're going to take out your appendix, you don't need it. Well, hold on. God put it in there for a purpose. But I understand the point that they're making. You can live without it. Really, can we live without one another? We shouldn't. We should never have the mentality, I can live without you. You can leave the church. I don't care. No, that's not the mentality. Paul says all of us are necessary. One cannot say to the other, you're not needed. And notice the next verse, it says, but rather. Y'all see that right there? Friends, we are vitally important. And because we're vitally important, we need to make sure that we treat everyone as being important. Let me make this point real quick. If you ever treat an individual as if they're not important, eventually, they will believe you. It's just like your teeth. You know, you don't have to take a hammer to your teeth if you want them to fall out. Just stop brushing, stop flossing. And eventually, Brother Nate, they're going to fall out, right? I mean, you don't have to beat up on your wife to tell her you don't love her. Just start neglecting her. Now, let's just make this point. As members of the Lord's church, should we be so interconnected that no one feels left out? That everyone is important and they know it? When a family member believes that they're not important, they're going to act that way. But here we understand that the body of Christ is supposed to be so connected, and all of us are needed in the body of Christ, and that's why it's a pivotal point in our lives that we know for a fact that all of us are needed, and if we're going to all get to heaven, all of us got to be working out our salvation. How? Together. Together. Which means that all the work does not fall upon the elders, the deacons, the ministers. It falls on all of us. Every last one of us, if we have been baptized into Christ, are needed, and no one can say you're not needed, because the Bible teaches us that all of us are needed, Brother Popejoy. Every last one of us. Verse 22, again, no, much rather those members of the body which, notice the word, seem to be weaker. Paul says, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they are necessary. Now, I put it in my notes in my Bible, even the feeble, even the weak-minded, even the one that only has one talent, if you will, the one that really don't know a lot of Bible, the one that is struggling even in their moral life, but they keep on coming back and asking God to forgive them and asking the church to pray for them. They're needed too. Oh no, what about the one that's walking on the cane? He's needed too. How about the one that cannot see? Well, they're needed too. What about the one that's hard of hearing? They're needed too. What about the one that can't see the scriptures, but the only thing they can do is listen, and then what they'll do, they'll send a card. They're needed too. What do you mean? Everyone's needed? Everyone is needed. Everyone has to bring something to the table. Notice what he says. No, much rather those members which seem to be weaker. Now, and that's the key, which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And on our presentable parts, we have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. Let's make a quick point here. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about, is Paul talking about, you know, our private parts being that which is not presentable, possibly? But could he also be talking about the internal organs? Just making a point there, that even though you can't see them, they're important. I know the kidney is important, the liver is important, every internal part is important, even though we can't see it, but what we do see, that is important as well, but we don't think about that, but the inner part, they're important. Which means that those who labor behind the scenes are just as important as those who are out front. That's good preaching right there. That's good preaching right there. Y'all missed the point, but that's fine. It's good preaching. You know why? Just because your name is not in the bulletin don't mean you're not important. Paul said everyone is important, and even though you can't see it, even though you can't see them working, oh, it's nothing like when the older sisters make them cakes and cookies. But they don't put their name on the plate. They just put them out there, and they've done their part. Or someone who sends an encouragement note, but they don't say about brother or sister so-and-so. They just send it out. Why? Because they don't want everybody to know who it is. They're laboring for their reward, which is in heaven. But they're just as important as the man that's standing in front of you. Because everybody is needed. Every last one of us. Oh, that's good stuff. Notice. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. Friends, God has always wanted all of us to know that the seen and unseen member are just as important as one another. The one that is out front, the one that is in the back, they're all important. Notice verse 25 and 26. Paul teaches here that we are interconnected. Notice what he says here, but that there should be no schism in the body, no separation, no parting, no division, if you will, but that the members should have the same care. Now, notice this, friends, the same concern, the same care for one another. Why is that important? It's important that we care about one another. It's important the way we think about one another. It's important that we look at one another as being important. Therefore, we can distribute the care that is needed. Notice what he says. And if one member suffers, all members suffer. And if one member is honored, then all members rejoice. And the Bible teaches us in Romans 12 that we ought to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Or when our brothers and sisters are going through the bereavement problem, they just lost a loved one, shouldn't we go there and give them the comfort that they need? Or maybe someone is suffering with some type of depression, shouldn't we go there and encourage them? Maybe someone is struggling with not understanding the scriptures, shouldn't we go and try to help them? Wouldn't we want that help? But what about the one that just received honor? Oh man, good job. To God be the glory. I'm there with you. And friends, that's why all of us are needed. Never have the mentality, well, I can't do what brother so-and-so does. No, you do what you need to do. You work out your salvation, Philippians 2 and verse 12, with fear and trembling. You understand for a fact that God is your God and Jesus is your Lord and the Spirit is leading you through the Word of God, and you do exactly what God needs you to do to help the body of Christ grow and be strong. Verse 27, we're all the body of Christ. God doesn't want any division. Three quick points. The lesson is yours. Friends, the more I was thinking about this, I was saying it's necessary for us to encourage one another to be conformed to Christ. In Romans 8 and verse 29, that is the very point of salvation in that context. The point of salvation, I know we use verse 28, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. But really, what's the point that Paul is making concerning salvation? Concerning being saved. Evelyn, it is to be conformed to the image of Christ. God literally wants little Jesus is running around in the earth, just like His Son. Shouldn't we be just like Christ? Isn't our lives hid in Christ, Colossians 3? Didn't Paul say, I'm crucified with Christ, Galatians 2? It's all about being conformed to the image of Christ, encouraging one another to be just like Jesus. How? Through reading and meditation. Notice, this requires us to pray for one another, to build up each other. How about this? To believe in one another. You know, I think I would rather someone believe in me than pray for me. Because you can pray for someone but not believe that they're going to make it. But believe that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Seek others' best interests. Forgive one another. Love one another, brother Talib. That's what God desires for us to do, to be conformed to the image of Christ. And when we do this, then we're just like our Father, Luke chapter 5. But then, number two, to encourage one another to communicate God's will with each other, with the world. In Matthew 28, Jesus, as he was talking to his disciples, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go. Whose responsibility is it, Brother Dennis, to go and spread the gospel? Every last one of us. We're all responsible of going out spreading the gospel. And God has blessed our nation with so many ways to do that. Yea, the internet, by cards, letters, or whatever. We can use whatever means to get the gospel out, to communicate God's will to God's people. As a matter of fact, you will know people that we don't know. You can invite people to the meeting that we don't know. You can attract people and help people that we can't attract. But we know for a fact that all of us can do our part. Encourage the college group we have here. They need encouragement. Away from home, they need encouragement. So God wants us to do that. I said, hey, get you a partner. and discuss the word of life together. You know, every now and then we need to just take a break from work, take a break from school, take a break from the mundane things of life, and talk about the word of God together. Friend, that's a beautiful thing that God gives us his word that we can do that. Number three, to encourage one another to continue looking to the clouds for the Christ return. What is the body of Christ for? What is the church for? I mean, are we just here to sing a couple songs and take a chip and take a sip and leave a $5 tip? Come on, y'all. Is that why we're here? No, we're not here for that. We're here to honor our God, to look to Jesus. But just like Paul says in Philippians 3 and verse 20 and 21, we have an expectation, we have a hope of Jesus Christ coming back. We're looking to the clouds. I can just see Paul as he is living his life and he's looking to the clouds waiting for Jesus Christ to come back. Gotta have something to look forward to. We're gonna meet the Lord in the air one day. And we need to live our lives today as if it's the last day. Which the Bible teaches us that we ought to be a people as we are looking to the clouds, waiting for the Lord. God has given us the ability to take care of our business down here, to enjoy the fruit of our labor, to enjoy our families, to enjoy the church, to enjoy and look at his creation. God has allowed us to do those things, but one thing God never wants us to forget, Mike, is don't forget about my son. Don't forget about him coming back. A man or a woman, a boy or a girl that understands that they have to keep their eyes to the clouds waiting for Jesus' return is a person that's going to live their life in that manner. And if anything, you're needed to encourage the brethren. You're needed to study your word so you can bring lessons and devotionals and preach the word and encourage. And friends, we all need that encouragement. And that's why the body of Christ is needed in this local area. I mean, the world, like we talked about on yesterday, are making decisions based upon their own understanding, their own knowledge, what they think is right. And here we have the word of God. We know what is right. At least we have it in our hands. And we can answer any question that they may have as it relates to morality and making good decisions and coming out of problems. We ought to be able to do that with the word of God and say, you know what? We can help you here. And even though we have problems here and we're not perfect here, but you can come here and be just as imperfect just like us. Right? Because we are imperfect. Oh, but the one we serve is perfect. The one that we honor is perfect. His word is perfect. I'll leave you with this. You know, as a preacher, as a public speaker, I might mess up a verb and noun agreement. I just might do that, Nate. But God won't. Every now and then I might have to stand in front of you and say, I have sinned and fallen short. But God never repents. You don't need to. He's perfect. And which means that when we're going out and we're inviting people and living a life in front of people and say, won't you come here? You know, you're needed in the body of Christ. What can I do to help the body of Christ? Number one, you can have your sins washed away by obeying the gospel. You can do that. Because what that does is that eliminates the separation between you and God. And really, that's what we are. That's who we are. We are a group of people whose sins have been washed away by the blood of Christ because of the sacrifice of Christ. And if anything, man, we need God. And God says, I need you to go out and talk to sinners. Why? I want them to be saved. Jesus said, Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. Friends, all of us are needed. And you ought to be teaching your children from the cradle to the grave that you're needed in the body of Christ. You give them purpose. Why? Because God has given us purpose. And our purpose, and we have one, every last one of us have one purpose, and that's to fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to be a child of God so bad that we're willing to study with you even right now after service. Why? Because your salvation is utmost important, not just to God, but to His people. And we want you to be saved. We want you to be in Christ. We want you to be a member of the body of Christ. We want you to be a hand or a foot or an eye or a leg. We want you to be something so you can help the cause of Christ to go forward. Satan has enough minions causing with his cause. We need some more people for the cause of Christ. The only way you can do that is by obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The death, the burial, the resurrection, the very appearance of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:1-8. Believe that. You know, belief is a work, John 6:29. Believe that. Repent of your sins. Turn away from sin. Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins, and God himself will wash away your sins through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, who was nailed to that cross, but came off that cross, and God raised him up on that third day. Oh, that's our God. God will add you to the body of Christ, and you'll be a member in particular. Having never been part of any denomination, you can be a member of the Lord's church. Why? Because that's what God wants. But maybe you're a child of God and, well, you've been sitting on the sideline because you said, well, there's no need for me. There's nothing else I can really do for the Lord and for the church. No, we need you. We need everybody. And when you get an army where everybody has a weapon in their hand, but moving forward, friends, you have something powerful. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.